Before we begin, just an announcement here. Tonight's majlis is sponsored by the Abidi family. So before we begin our majlis, inshallah, please recite Surah Al-Fatiha for Marhum Muzaffar Hussein Abidi and Hurra Nisa Abidi and the rest of their marhumin, as well as the souls of all of your departed loved ones. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Muhammad wa Ali. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. والصلاة والسلام على خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. صلى الله عليه وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. صلى الله عليك يا رسول الله. صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله غريب يا مظلوم كربلاء ما خاب من تمسك بكم وأمنا من لجأ إليكم يا ليتنا فيا ليتنا كنا معكم سيدي فنفوز والله فوزا عظيما. قال تعالى في كتابه الكريم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذا بشر أحدهم بالأنثى ظل وجهه مسودا وهو كظيم. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. Respected elders, brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Before I delve into tonight's discussion, I want to address a concern that was made about the topic of last night's majlis. I'm aware that some probably found the topic to be inappropriate for the month of Muharram, for the majalis of Imam al-Hussein. And I'd like to make a comment about this contention. My dear brothers and sisters, we have to remember that the objective of Imam al-Hussein's movement, his mission statement, which he defined, which we will not define for him, what does he say? إنما خرجت لطلب الإصلاح في أمة جدي. That I am rising up to reform the ummah of my grandfather, to address the issues that are plaguing the ummah of my grandfather. The minbar of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam is a minbar of Islah. It's not just a pulpit where we speak about what happened in the past. Imam al-Hussein says, my movement is about Islah. We have to remember this. Number two, many have said that, Shaykh, some of these topics should be discussed at another time. Discuss it not in the first Ashura, discuss it after Muharram, at another time. When? On Thursday nights, when no one shows up to the masjid? Do you want me to recite it in Ramadan where the numbers are very few? If there is a problem that is plaguing our community, destroying our families, you want me not to mention it in the days where we have the most audience, where the message of Imam al-Hussein can reach the largest number of people? And another issue is, some said that these topics are not appropriate for some of the youngsters. My dear brothers and sisters, especially the parents, your children do not live in a bubble as much as you'd like to believe they do. They know more about these issues than you do. What they are exposed to on social media would shock you. So we have a choice. Would you rather have these issues discussed? Would you rather have someone else tell them about these issues that will impact their future? Or would you rather have the minbar of Imam al-Hussein teach them these issues? Feeling uncomfortable is not a sufficient reason to not talk about issues. Who gets to decide what is discussed on the minbar? You? The maraji', our ulama, like Sayyid Sistani, who encourages speakers to address contemporary issues, the issues that are plaguing our families. The minbar of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam is not held captive to the sensitivities of the people. The minbar of Imam al-Hussein is the minbar of haqq. Imam al-Hussein himself made people feel uncomfortable. So this minbar, my dear brothers and sisters, to the board members in all communities, the minbar of Imam al-Hussein is a minbar that solves the problems that are in people's lives. And this is something that we have to keep in mind. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Now let's get into today's discussion. The title of tonight's talk is Dads and Daughters. The relationship between a father and a daughter is one of the most consequential relationships in the life of a girl. In the pre-Islamic era, a girl was valueless. The verse that I began with, وَإِذَا بُشِّرَ أَحَدُهُمْ بِالْأُنْثَى ظَلَّ وَجْهُهُ مُسْوَدًّا فَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. The Quran tells us that when they were informed, when the Arabs, during the time of the Prophet, when they received the news that they were given a daughter, they have a daughter, a new baby, their faces would become blackened with anger. يَتَوَارَى مِنَ الْقَوْمِ مِنْ سُوءِ مَا بُشِّرَ بِهِ. Allah says, they are so embarrassed of having a daughter that they don't want to show up in public because they saw it as a curse. That boys bring honor to the family. A boy brings strength. A daughter, when she marries, she's a part of someone else's family. When you look at the traditions of the Ahlul Bayt, you see how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi was speaking about the blessings of daughters at a time when people were burying female infants alive. It's easy to say this with your tongue, but do you know what it means to bury a baby alive? Can you imagine how ruthless these people were? And then you see Rasulullah saying, البنات هن المشفقات المجهزات المباركات. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi, he says, girls, daughters, they are the compassionate ones. They are the ones whom Allah provides for. Don't worry about their sustenance. Allah will provide for them. والمباركات, they bring barakah into your life. And for those of you who have daughters, you fathers who have daughters, you know the blessing of having a daughter in your house. Having a daughter is so precious in the Islamic tradition that Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, salawatullahi alayhi, Imam al-Sadiq, what does he say? He says, Inna Ibrahim, the great prophet of God. Inna Ibrahim sa'ala rabbahu an yarzuqahu ibnatan Ibrahim. He used to pray to Allah for Allah to give him a daughter. Why? The narration says, تَبْكِيهِ وَتَنْدُبَهُ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهِ. Ibrahim, he asked Allah, Ilahi, grant me a daughter so that after my death I will have someone who will cry for me, someone who will lament me, someone who will mourn for me. It's a blessing to have sons, yes, but daughters are different. There's a bond that's there. There's a softness. There's a thoughtfulness that is unique. And Ibrahim, he mentions this. The blessing of having daughters. Imam al-Sadiq, in another tradition, he says, كان رسول الله أبا بنات. Imam al-Sadiq says, the messenger of Allah was a father of daughters. He was a father of daughters. And he never expressed any disappointment in this. Whenever he would receive the news of a daughter, he would say, a flower has come to this world with a fragrance, and her sustenance is upon her Lord. This was the Prophet. We have so many ahadith about kindness, how the men folk should be delicate and gentle and compassionate with their daughters and with their women folk. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi says, Inna Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala ala al-inath ar'afu minhu ala al-dhukur. The Prophet says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more lenient and more gentle in the way that he judges and he deals with the females than the males. The Prophet says Allah is like this. And then Rasulullah, he says something that is very important. And I want every brother in here to listen to this and to use this hadith from the Prophet to guide your interactions with your wife, with your sister, with your aunt, with your niece, with your daughter, with your granddaughter. وَمَا مِنْ رَجُلٍ يُدْخِلُ فَرْحَةً عَلَى امْرَأَةٍ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهَا حُرْمَةً إِلَّا فَرَّحَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. The Prophet says, any man who brings happiness to the heart of a woman who is part of his mahram, you make your mother happy, you make your wife happy, you make your daughter happy, your sister happy, Rasulullah says, as a reward, Allah will put happiness in your heart on the day of Qiyamah, when the hearts are shaking with fear. There is another request for the brothers to please rise up and to take a few steps forward. جزاكم الله رحم الله من ذكر القائم من آل محمد. a second salawat. For the love of Fatima al-Zahra, a third with the loudest of your voices. Therefore, the relationship between a father and a daughter especially is consequential. The relationship, especially to the fathers in the majlis and to those who are listening online, your relationship with your daughter will shape her attitude and her worldview. It will set the stage for her for the rest of her life. It will have a massive influence on how she sees the world and how she sees herself in the world. And therefore tonight, my dear brothers and sisters, I want to share some humble advice on what fathers need to teach their daughters and what fathers need to do to ensure that their daughters flourish into the amazing women that Allah intended them to be. Number one, the first and perhaps the most important lesson that every father must teach his daughter, because ultimately, you are the first love of her life. You are the first male that she will ever love. So it's very important that you are delicate with this relationship. The first lesson that you must teach her is that she has independent nobility and value. Meaning, her value and her nobility is not relational. She has value because of who she is, not because she is the daughter of Fulan, or the brother of Fulan, or the mother of Fulan. What gives every human being value is their relationship with Allah. Inna akramakum 'indallahi atqakum. Now, this doesn't mean that motherhood, being a daughter, a sister, is not important. But the most important relationship, what governs all of these relationships, is her relationship with Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the Quran, He gives us examples of righteous women who have different life circumstances. Some of them had husbands, some of them did not. Because not every woman who wants to get married ends up getting married. Sometimes it doesn't happen because of circumstances. Some women have good husbands, other women have bad husbands. You take, for example, Asiya. Asiya is a good woman, a righteous woman, irrespective of who she was married to. Sometimes we see a woman and we label her based on who her brother is, who her father is, who her husband is. Allah tells us in the Quran that Asiya bint Muzahim, she was married to the most evil man, but that never diminished her nobility. Because she has independent nobility. Her relationship with Allah determined her worth. You have Maryam alayhi salam, who did not have a husband. Now again, Islam encourages marriage. But as I said, sometimes it doesn't happen. Circumstances. Maryam alayhi salam doesn't have a husband. But what does Allah say about her in the Quran? إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاكِ وَطَهَّرَكِ وَاصْطَفَاكِ عَلَى نِسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ. Maryam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the example of Khadija alayhi salam, a woman of wealth, a woman who came from nobility. But what made Khadija truly noble is not her money, It's not the family that she came from. It's the heart, her character. You have someone like Hajar, who was a servant. She did not have a high social status. She was not a woman who came from a famous tribe. She did not have that social prestige. But you and I, when we go to Hajj, many of our Hajj rituals are done in honor of that woman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved her remembrance. Because to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it doesn't matter who you're married to, who your father is, who your son is. It matters who you are, what you do with your life, your character. We have examples in the life of the Prophet of women who were divorced, divorcees, widows. And in the history of Islam, they were some of the most incredible women. So lesson number one is that your value, you have independent nobility. You have independent nobility, irrespective of who you are affiliated with or associated with by blood. That's number one. Number two, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi says, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. He says, طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم و Seeking knowledge is an obligation upon every Muslim man and every Muslim woman. Now, when we read this hadith, we automatically think of what? We think secular education. Now, in many cases, secular education may become wajib. If there is a society where there is a need, for example, for female physicians, it becomes wajib kifai for some women to pursue this. But the most important knowledge is the knowledge of your deen. Ma'rifatullah. If you look at the women of Ahlul Bayt, alayhimus salam, they were at the forefront in educating the women of their communities. They were women of great knowledge. Imam Zainul Abidin, what did he say about his aunt Zainab? أنت بحمد الله عالمة غير معلمة. You are an untaught scholar. This is what makes you valuable in the eyes of Allah. This is what elevates you in His sight. To be a woman of righteousness. There's a very beautiful hadith from the Prophet where he says, المرأة الصالحة. A righteous woman. خير من ألف رجل غير صالح. The Prophet says, one righteous woman, and righteousness is much deeper than just performing the rituals. If righteousness is prayer, Umar ibn Sa'd and his army, they prayed. The Prophet says, one righteous woman is greater in the eyes of Allah than 1,000 men who are devoid of righteousness. These are the words of the Prophet. Number three. Your daughter, my respected fathers, your daughter needs to know that she can count on you in her life. She needs to know that she can trust you. She needs to know that when she's in trouble, she can reach out to you. She needs to know that there's someone who's going to back her. Because it's very difficult to go through life as a daughter who doesn't have that support. The world can be a very cruel place for girls. And therefore, your daughter should have such a relationship with you where she knows that when push comes to shove, I have a father who's going to listen to me. I have a father who's going to fight for me. I have a father who's going to show up when I need him to show up. Otherwise, she'll grow up resenting men for the rest of her life. She'll have trust issues because you traumatized her. You didn't step up. You were her first experience with males, and it was a bitter one. And she carries that trauma with her throughout her life. And it creates trust issues when she wants to meet a potential spouse. You made her life unnecessarily challenging. She didn't have that security. So the third lesson is, she needs to know that you're going to be there for her, that you're going to back her up. Number four, your daughter needs to know from you that physical perfection is a myth. In the past, our daughters used to compare themselves to the women in Hollywood, the women on the covers of magazines. They used to measure their physical beauty against these icons. But you know what happens today? They have to compare themselves to everybody. They have to compare themselves to the artificial beauty that they see on social media. The filters, that fake physical beauty. You have to constantly remind her that what you see on social media is not real. That's fake. That's superficial. Remind her that that person probably had to take 1,000 pictures and experiment with tens of filters to get it just right. But that's not real. That's not how people look. We all have our blemishes and our physical imperfections. So don't compare yourself to something that doesn't even exist. She needs to hear that from you. And number five, you as her father, you have to always tell her that she's beautiful. You have to. You can't just say it every once in a while and on her birthday, and you know what? She knows, and her mother probably tells her. She has to hear it from you, her dad, her father. Because it means something to her. You have to tell her that she's beautiful. Because the world is trying to convince her that she's not. So you're up against all that noise, and you have to tell her that she's beautiful. But more importantly, you have to demonstrate to her. You have to teach her how to redefine beauty. The real beauty is not what's on the outside. This body, no matter how much you take care of it, eventually it's going to become dust. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi, lama sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. When the Prophet used to look in the mirror, he used to look and he used to say, Alhamdulillah alladhi khalaqani fasawani. What's amazing about Rasulullah is the most mundane acts, he turns them into rich spiritual experiences. He looks into the mirror and he says, praise be to Allah, the one who created me and fashioned me. Allahumma kama hassanta khalqi, fahassin khuluqi. Oh Allah, just as you made me attractive in my physical appearance, make me attractive in my character. That's what you have to teach. You have to teach your daughter that when she looks in the mirror, to make a dua, oh Allah, I want my inner beauty to supersede my outer beauty. Because that is what lasts. You know, if you're worried about what you look like on the day of judgment, what this looks like is going to determine what your outer image is like. يَوْمَ تُبْلَى السَّرَائِرِ. On the day when the secrets will be divulged, your image in that world has nothing to do with how much Botox you get. It doesn't have to do with plastic surgery. The way that you appear in that world is simply the manifestation of what is here. If you want to be beautiful, beautify this. That's what you have to teach.
صلوا على محمد وآل محمد.
There's another request. You want to take a guess what it is? Stand up, brothers and sisters, stand up, and if you can move a few inches forward, that would be highly appreciated.
صلوا على محمد وآل محمد.
So you have to tell your daughter that you think she's beautiful. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi, the narration say that he used to say, كُلَّمَا اشْتَقْتُ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ قَبَّلْتُ نَحْرَ فَاطِمَةً. That whenever I yearned for Jannah, I would kiss my daughter Fatima. This was the Prophet. This is the prophetic way to have this gentle side, to appreciate the inner and the outer beauty of your daughter. Number six, your daughter needs you to teach her how to deal with adversity. The world is not an easy place to live. Don't tell your kids that life is easy. Life is difficult. You have to be like Ali ibn Abi Talib in the sense that he prepared his daughter for the trials that would come. He spoke to her about the importance of patience. If you look at the women of Ahlul Bayt, they suffered greatly, but they were prepared for it because they were nurtured by incredible fathers. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, he nurtured Fatima. He prepared her for the ugliness of this world. Amirul Mu'mineen, he prepared, he groomed Sayyida Zainab alayhi salam for the hardships that she would face. As the poet says, when he addresses Sayyida Zainab, he says that you inherited the calamities of your mother, but you also inherited the sabr of your father.
Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And part of what it means to teach her how to deal with adversity is that you have to teach her that it's okay to ask for help. Sometimes our daughters don't want to ask for help because they don't want to appear weak. Because we live in a society that treats their femininity as weakness. So their way of countering that is, I don't need any help. I can do it on my own. And sometimes they can. But reminder that if you can't, if you're struggling, you can ask for help. Because we all need help. We all need support. It doesn't mean that you're weak. And everything that happens to you in this life, there's a reason for it. This life may seem chaotic. It may seem like there's no order. There's no method to the madness. But a reminder that there is not a single leaf that falls from a tree, but Allah knows about it. So teach your daughter that the calamities of life are not happening to you, they're happening for you. Because you're destined for greatness, you have great potential. And don't allow the world to stifle your development. Don't feel defeated. Don't allow the world to crush you, because that's what they try to do to Sayyidah Zainab. The enemies were watching her on that day to see what is it going to take to break this woman. And when the battle was over, they saw her walking on the battlefield and they thought that we're going to witness the breakdown. When she walks to the body of her beheaded brother, that is when Zainab cannot take any more. But what does she do? She knew she was being watched by the enemies. So she walks with the utmost grace, with the highest dignity. She sits beside the body of her brother Hussein. And she puts her hands underneath his body. And she slightly lifts it up. And she says, Allahumma taqabbal minna hadha al-qurban. Oh Allah, accept this sacrifice from us. Do you see how important Islam is? What were they sacrificing for? Islam. The Islam that sometimes we feel insecure about. The Islam that sometimes we want to hide. Sayyidah Zainab was proud that she had a brother like Hussein that gave everything for Islam. So you have to teach your daughter how to endure those hard times. Number seven, as a father, your daughter needs to feel comfortable talking to you about marriage. She needs to feel comfortable talking to you about potential spouses. It shouldn't be that she is so afraid of you that you're the last person she wants to know. Take a lesson from Prophet Shu'aib, the way that he raised his daughters. He raised his daughters in such a way that he treated them like human beings. He treated them with respect. He loved them. So much so that when one of his daughters had an interaction, when she met Musa and she was impressed by his character, she hinted to her father that I'm interested in him. She suggested to her father that we should hire him. What does she say? Ya abat istajirhu inna khayra man istajarta al-qawiyyu al-amin. Oh father, hire him, because the best man to hire is someone who is qawi, someone who is strong, and someone who's trustworthy. Does he say to her, it's none of your business, leave the business to the man? Don't you have any shame? Why would you bring these issues to me? He listened to her. He validated her. And what did he do? He proposed on behalf of his daughter. He didn't have the attitude that, no. The proposals have to come to me. He's a prophet of God. If he has this humility, why do we have this arrogance? They were open about these issues. They could talk. Because you don't want to have a relationship with your daughter where she has to hide these things. It's better that she talks to you, so you can give her advice. Number eight, Your daughter needs you to teach her to take responsibility when she's wrong. Some fathers take it to the extreme. My daughter does no wrong. My daughter is a princess. I'm always going to side with my daughter because she's my daughter. She's the light of my eyes. She's an angel. Oh, she could never do something like that. You have to be realistic. Don't be blind. You're not doing her any favors when you tell her she can do no wrong. You're setting her up for failure, for conflict. It's difficult to be an adult if you can't admit that you're wrong. So when she does wrong, tell her that I love you, but what you did was wrong. I'm not going to love you less, but what you did was unacceptable. You have to have balance. And just because you do make a mistake, it doesn't mean that I'm not going to love you anymore. We're human. We all make mistakes. I make mistakes. And sometimes you have to show her that it's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to admit that you're wrong by showing her that you admit when you're wrong. Do you know how powerful it is for your daughter to hear her father say, Baba, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. She'll have more respect for you as a man. Teacher, كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمَ خَطَّاءَ. All human beings make mistakes. Of course, other than the ma'sumin, the prophets. Human beings in general, they make mistakes. وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ. All human beings make mistakes. But the best sinners are the repenters. The ones who make mistakes, they can redeem themselves with repentance. Number nine, always remind her that she's a member of a community. Yes, highlight the importance of marriage. Highlight the importance of motherhood. Allow her to pursue her passions. Teach her her deen so she can be an active participant in society without compromising her Islamic values. It can be done. Find out what she is interested in. Let her pursue her passions. And don't just tell her to pursue what she's passionate about. Invest in her passions. If she's a good writer, don't just say, MashaAllah, that's great. Tell her, how can I help you become the best? I can get you a tutor. I can put you in a program. How can I help you nurture this? That will mean the world to them. Number 10, your daughter needs to learn about healthy relationships from you. She's going to learn what a relationship is from you. As a little girl, she's going to watch how you treated her mom. And if you mistreated her mother, she's going to think that that's normal. She's going to think that's normal. And when she ends up in an abusive relationship, she's going to think that's the norm. So you have to teach her what it means to live with dignity, to be a man of integrity. You have to teach her what love looks like, how to receive it and how to give it. Now you may wonder, how do I do this? How do I deepen my relationship with my daughter? How do I show her that she's valuable to me, that I love her, that I cherish her? I'll give you a few practical things, just four practical things that you can do that can deepen your bond with your daughter. And these may sound simple and maybe even silly, but I promise you that they are impactful. These are things that if you do them, your daughter will never forget it. Number one, write her written notes. Write little notes for her. Write a note that says, I hope you have a beautiful day.
and put it in her lunchbox when she's a little girl.
Write a note and tape it to her mirror and say that I'm proud of you. I'm praying for you. Write a note that says, I know you had a bad week. I got your back. I'm telling you, brothers, these notes, it'll take you a few seconds to write it. But those messages, she will carry with her for the rest of her life. They make a difference. The second thing you can do is send her flowers. Yes, she needs to learn from you what it means to be a gentleman. She needs to learn what male chivalry is, so she doesn't fall for a punk. So she knows the difference between a man and a boy. She knows how a man acts and how a boy acts. Because if you don't make that clear, she'll be chasing boys and she'll never end up with a real man. You have to be a man. You have to show that dignity, that chivalry. You have to be a gentleman so she knows what a gentleman is. If you don't teach her, the media is going to teach her. The third is take her out. Just you and her. You know, in the Western world, they call them dad dates. Dad dates. Take them out. Just you and her. Coffee. Go to a restaurant together. Just you and her. So she feels that she has your undivided attention, because too many fathers are physically present in the lives of their daughters, but they're not emotionally present. Some fathers don't know what their daughters are studying in school. They don't know what they're dealing with. They're physically there, emotionally absent. So every once in a while, every few weeks, once a month, you decide what works for you. Have that private time with you and your daughter. You got to spend that time. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi, he loved Fatima az-Zahra. He had such a bond with Sayyida Fatima that when he would travel, before he leaves Medina, the last person he farewells is Fatima. When he comes back from a long journey, before he sees any of his wives, the first person he goes to see is Fatima. That bond, that one-on-one time is important. And finally, when you go out with your daughter, just you and her, whether it's a restaurant or an ice cream shop, let her choose. Let her choose what restaurant. Let her choose what she wants to eat. Let her choose the flavor of ice cream. Because that shows her that you value her opinion. That she doesn't need to live in a world where everything is just dictated to her. She needs to understand that she has some agency. She has a voice. That she matters. And if you do these things, you will raise an amazing woman who will be a great mother, a great wife, and a great member of society. And this is what we see with the women of Ahlul Bayt. They were raised by noble men. They nurtured girls who became noble women. Tonight, my dear brothers and sisters, we remember a very painful tragedy on the day of Ashura. We remember the infant son of Imam al-Hussein. We remember that mother, that noble woman, Ar-Rabab, who was an incredible woman, the wife of Imam al-Hussein, who gave him Sakina, who gave him Abdullah al-Radi' or Ali al-Asghar. Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, when he was in his last phase of the battle, Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, at that moment, he had lost everybody. He'd look on the plains of Karbala and he would see the bodies of the men that he had intimate conversations with the night before. He would look at the body of Zuhair. And just last night, we were sitting together. The body of Habib, the body of Muslim ibn Awsaja, the body of Al-Qasim, and far away near the banks of the Euphrates was the body of Abbas. The Imam saw his entire life scattered on the plains of Karbala. Those weren't just bodies. Those were memories. These are people that had real relationships with Imam al-Husayn. And the time finally came when Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam realized that the moment has come, that he has to now join all of those beloveds. As he's preparing to enter the battlefield, he goes into the tents of the women and the children, and he says to them, "Hada akhirul wada." That this is the final farewell. This is when we have to say goodbye. You can imagine the crying. You can imagine the tears. It's difficult for us to say goodbye to our parents. Imagine saying goodbye to Imam al-Husayn. They cry and they wail, and Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam is trying to calm them down, exhorting them to patience. They say, "Aba Abdullah, if you insist, if you must go, before you go, we have a favor from you." He says, "What is the favor?" He says, "Please farewell your infant son." They bring the child, the infant, to Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, and the Imam kisses him. And they say to him, "Aba Abdullah, before you go, please get water for him. He has been crying all day and all night. We're not able to give him milk. He's in so much pain. We cannot handle his tears anymore, Aba Abdullah. So before you go, at least lessen the pain by giving him some water." Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, he holds his child. He looks at him, the tears are streaming down the face of the baby. Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, he enters the battlefield. What does the Imam alayhi salam do? He puts his sword on the sand. He signals to them that I don't have any weapons on me. He's walking with this baby in his arms. Some narrations say that he was on the horse. He raises the baby. He raises Abdullah al-Radi' for the army of Umar ibn Sa'd to see. The crying of the baby echoes through the desert of Karbala. Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, he raises that baby. And he says to the army of Umar ibn Sa'ad, he says to them, إِن كَانَ لِلرِّجَالِ ذَنْبٌ إِن كَانَ لِلرِّجَالِ ذَنْبٌ فَمَا ذَنْبُ هَذَا الطِّفْلِ الرَّضِيعِ. If you believe that the men have committed a crime, then I ask you, what is the crime of this baby? What is the crime of this infant? Imam al-Hussein says to them, if you think that I am trying to trick you, I will put him on the sand. You can take the baby and just give him water. Don't give me any water, just give the baby water. The army of Umar ibn Sa'ad, they start to argue with one another. Some of them say, let us give some water to the baby. Let us give some water to the infant. What can this infant do to us? Give him some water. Others say, do not give a drop of water to the infant. Let the child die of thirst with his father Hussein. Imam al-Hussein is pleading with them to give water to the child. There is commotion in the army of Umar ibn Sa'd. Umar ibn Sa'd, he sees that there is disagreement and debate over what to do. So he turns to one of his expert archers by the name of Harmala. قال يا حرملاء اقطع نزاع القوم. Oh حرملاء, put an end to all of this debate. He says to him, Umar ibn Sa'd says, shoot at the baby. Umar ibn Sa'd, he had a three-pronged arrow. An arrow that was designed to kill warriors like Abbas. This is an arrow that was designed to kill men like Ali al-Akbar. This is an arrow that was designed to kill men like Imam al-Hussein. Umar ibn Sa'd, he says to Harmala, says to Umar ibn Sa'd, where do you want me to shoot? Harmala says, do you see the neck of the baby? Harmala, he draws his arrow. He sees Imam al-Hussein cradling the infant. He waits for the right moment. The moment he sees the tiny neck of the child, he shoots the three-pronged arrow. Imam al-Hussein is pleading with them. Suddenly, Imam al-Hussein, he feels an arrow hit his body. The narration say the arrow hit the neck of the infant. The narration say, فَذَبَحَهُ مِنَ الْوَرِيدِ إِلَى الْوَرِيدِ فَذَبَحَهُ مِنَ الْوَرِيدِ إِلَى الْوَرِيدِ The whole arrow went into the neck. وَأَخَذَا يُرَفْرِفُ كَذْكَ الطَّيْرِ الْمَذْبُوحِ The narrations say that when that child was hit, his feet started to flutter like a bird that was slaughtered. The baby looks up at his father, Hussein. And it's as if he's saying, my father, I thought I was safe with you. As the blood pours from the neck of the baby, سعد الله قلبك يا أبا عبد الله. Imam al-Hussein, he starts collecting the blood of the child in his palm. Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, he says, when the blood filled his palm, Imam al-Hussein, he threw the blood into the sky, and by Allah, not a single drop of that blood returned to the earth. Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, he doesn't know what to do now. As he turns back, Sakina comes to him and says, my father, did you get water from the
Ya Hussein, 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 Ya